Get ready. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Lo-Fi Knight, your host. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and get to know our guests. It is episode 170 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is October 12th and the 14th as of this recording when it hits the internet on Friday. Now, y'all might be wondering, wait, Lo-Fi, you're not the usual host of this show. What did you do to Kami Jace? Is he okay? Are they all right? Have you kidnapped Kami Jace? The answer is yes to all those questions. I have taken over this show for the course of this final Wednesday of Latina Heritage Month because, spoiler alert, he has taken the rest of us hostage as he's brought us onto his show to, well, interrogate us on our Latinidad. And now it is only fair that I get my revenge and turn the question around onto him. So, could my guest please introduce himself unwillingly?
Hello. Yes. Hello. 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 I am Kami Jace, usually your host, but today the guest. And it's always weird for me to be on the other side of my own show, especially, but I'm happy to do so and excited to be interrogated.
Yes, interrogated indeed, because for those of you who have been paying attention, every week for Latina Heritage Month, he has done the amazing work of bringing on a Latina person to interview and ask about their Latinidad and how that means to be Latina. And these have been very hard questions for us to answer. And so now we're turning it back on to him.
It'll be like triple hard for me because I've I've thought about what everyone else's answers might be. But then, you know, thinking about what mine might be is like, yikes.
Well, I hope you thought long and hard about it, because I think it is time we... Well, actually, no. Let's talk about your podcast.
Oh, sure.
That's right. You have us ask, you have us talk about our like personal projects and stuff. So you know what? Talk about your podcast, parentheses S, because I know you have several.
Sure. So this is actually a great part to start off with, because I have two, three, and maybe a fourth one on the way. Thankfully, I'm not headlining so the first one is obviously this one you're listening to right now, the Weekly Cooldown. The second is the Greatest Gaming Game Show Ever, which will be starting up season two hopefully very soon. I'm just trying to make sure I have the funds and and the guests lined up for that one. That is the, of course, gaming trivia show where I play, as most people know him, Jace, my Final Fantasy 14 character, but as if he was in the real world and also as if he was a game show host. So a very arrogant version of myself, let's say. My third podcast, which is tentatively called McGillum's Meat House, is a TTRPG focused podcast where I will be basically playing another character and interviewing other folks' TTRPG characters for various reasons. And also, I think it was, I was just like, I want to do something TTRPG focused. So there's that. And then the fourth podcast, actually, I got hit up by a friend I know, as I say, in Meat Space, who I really enjoy hanging out with, who decided he wanted to start a nerdy podcast. And so it is he, I, and a friend of his, and we're going to be starting up that show fairly soon as well. I don't know the name of it yet, but it's on its way.
Do you have any details on what it could be? Can you share any details?
Yeah. So the fourth podcast, what he decided he wanted to do is kind of have the Barstool Sports of nerds, except without being really nasty, you know, like really kind of bro-y type content. He wanted it to be like deeply nerd-tastic and also kind of like, he didn't sugarcoat it. He said like lefty, right? Like we are, we're progressive people. We're generally nice dudes. We're going to come at this with an opinion, but we're not going to be like disgustingly douchey about it. So he basically said, you know, we'll all come with a topic, we'll discuss the topic, then each person gets like a chance to kind of give their own dissecty opinion about it, and then we move on, and it could be anything within the nerd culture. His other friend, I believe his name is Greg, liked Star Wars a lot, so he was like, Star Wars is probably going to be the topic of my choice, like, default. And I said, yeah, I do video games, as you know, so I'll probably be the resident video game nerd. And he was like, I love, you know, everything from music to movies to
pop culture.
Star Wars. Yeah. So he was just ready to go on that idea. And I was like, if you're headlining it and you're just kind of bringing me on to be an idea mill, I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's really fucking cool. And like, as Mello is out there in chat saying, you really are out here like building your podcast empire. Like, it's four, next year will be eight.
It's exhausting sometimes, but I love sitting in front of a microphone. So what can I say?
Well, that's excellent. It's exactly what podcasting is.
Produced by microphones.
Produced by microphones. But yes, that's really cool. And I can't wait to hear. We'll hear it when it starts, because I'm sure you'll share it everywhere once it begins.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to it myself. But how about we get down to the nitty gritty of it? How about we get down to the tough questions?
I'm ready, Freddy.
All right, so you should know these questions by heart because, as I mentioned, you've asked them to every single one of us who has been on your show for the past 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know, Latina Heritage Month is from September the 15th through October the 15th, so 3 days left, which means it's 3 days left to be really cool to all your Latina friends and family and everyone else, and then you can forget about us. Then we vanish from the face of the earth.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah. So
I get to double dip in February, so it's fine.
It's true. Yeah. Well, triple dip, because then you have Pride Month.
Oh, that's right. In June. Yeah, I get a whole bunch of marginalized months. Mm-hmm. Love it.
But yes, first question. What does it mean to be Latina to you?
So, tough question, like super tough, especially because over the last couple of weeks, what I've been hearing from all of you is that it is kind of, it's there's something kind of perseverant in being Latine or Latina or Latino or Latinx. There's something kind of driving you forward and there's some kind of momentum, right, to being Latine. But in my life, even knowing that I am Puerto Rican, I've never felt closeness to either my mom's culture or my dad's culture. My dad is Jamaican. And I've never felt any kind of pull or gravitation toward one or the other, but I've always wanted to be more connected with my Latin heritage, as it were. I know a lot about my grandfather's upbringing, a lot about where he came from, a lot about my mom, how she grew up, but there always still seemed to be some kind of disconnect. My mom speaks decently fluent Spanish. The family speaks really good Spanish, but I speak almost none, really. I can read it pretty well, so there, I got that going for me, but otherwise I don't speak any. So I've never had a chance really to feel like I was a part of that community or part of that culture, minus knowing how to cook some really good pendil, just saying. That aside,
culture.
Yeah, it is.
Being able
actually
to make the food.
Yeah, right. But that's the only pull I've had. And it always made me feel bad that, you know, maybe I wasn't enough, right? And that's something else that I've heard from a few folks, is that despite knowing that you are and feeling that and like kind of living that truth, you don't feel like you are representative enough or represented enough, or like you yourself need to do more to show that you are a part of that culture. And I've always felt that growing up, throughout high school, middle school and high school, really. I really tried to like let people know that, like, yeah, I'm Puerto Rican. And the looks I would get from folks, like, you can't possibly be, like, that still haunts me in a way. And it's just always been a sticking point. But these days, I think I've taken a lot from, especially thanks to the internet, and meeting a lot more Latin people in gaming spaces, especially. I think I'm seeing a lot more of myself in others, if that makes sense. And that sense of community is really resonating with me. I never felt that I had that sense of community before, even with the family. And so knowing that there are people who are Black, and also Puerto Rican or Black and Dominican or any combination, and knowing that, yeah, I had a similar upbringing. I can cook the food really well. I can read and write in Spanish, but I can't speak a lick of it. And knowing that they kind of resonate with me in a way, I love that. It makes me feel like I'm not so alone anymore. So to me, being Latine is about being communal, being welcoming, finding yourself within some kind of community, regardless of whether or not you feel like you are part of that community or not. You can find some family within us, and I appreciate that.
That's a lot more hopeful than my response was. But that's really awesome. And like, I'm really glad that it helps to know that there are a lot of people, particularly in the States, who feel that exact way, who don't feel connected enough to their culture, yet still want to be. And just having that sort of support makes all the difference.
Yep. Absolutely.
But the next question, what does it mean to be a gamer? Were you born a gamer? Or like, did it like happen after watching like one too many G4 episodes?
Oh, I wish it was that easy. I always go back to the earliest memories for gaming for me, which are playing like Sonic 2 with my brother in our like 2-bedroom apartment with my mom, and or playing Super Mario Brothers 3 on the NES with my mom and kind of passing the controller around and not ever getting past the first level or the first stage because none of us knew what we were doing. And it's those moments that I really cling to for when I think about gaming, because it really did start with my family. My brother played most of the games for me while I watched. There were just a few games that I would play on my own. Usually it was Sonic or Crash Bandicoot or something kind of family friendly, right? But I've always wanted to be a part of the more kind of adult gaming world that he was already kind of entering, because he's about 7 or 8 years older than me. And so like when I was 5, I will never forget this. I would watch from his bunk, in our bunk bed, I would watch him play Resident Evil. And that's the game that has influenced me a whole lot throughout my life. Is because I was introduced to it at such a young age. And I remember going to school and asking my teacher how to spell zombie, right? Because I was so into Resident Evil that I was like, I want to write about zombies.
That poor teacher.
She was like, I think it starts with a Z and I think it ends in an IE. And I was like, okay, I'm going to write zombie with a Y though. Is that okay? but anyway, it was one of those moments that really kind of again connected me to the family, and wanting to keep those moments in mind and in hand, I continued the legacy, right? My brother kind of fell out of the gaming circle. He didn't really play them. I played them for the most part. and it passed on a little to my sister. She was getting into it. She had a Nintendo DS and a Game Boy Advance and would play, like, you know, like Barbie games and stuff like that. But she loved doing it. She loved playing video games, and she loved playing them with me. And I'm the only one who has kept up with it. No one else really plays that much. But once again, it comes back to the idea of family and community, right? Gaming, you can find those things within gaming. And you can start with it too, right? You can start with your family, and then, you know, despite your family growing out of it, you can jump to a new community, find a new group of friends, or online family, as it were, right? Found families through gaming. So there's a lot there for gamers, lowercase g gamers. Capital G's, we got to, that's a whole nother story for another time.
Yeah, throw your old family away. Go find a new family.
I think that's my whole vibe, right? Don't go back to home to mom. Just, you know, come play video games. It's fine.
I think I've heard you mention Resident Evil once or twice. Or 15 or times. That's really cool. And it's interesting to hear, like, what the game is that, like, sort of, like, grabs people, and that's the game that sort of sticks with them. And it sounds like for you that was Resident Evil.
Yeah, Resident Evil was one of those, like, it reminds me of why people actually like watching Twitch. It was the game for me that was the thing I was watching, right? That and Silent Hill, I was just a spectator.
Wow, you were a scary child.
Yes. Oh yeah. I still love scary games to this day. I was watching, and I think if my brother had a Twitch channel when I was younger, I'd probably be watching his Twitch channel. But insofar that it was an experience for me watching, it also kind of influenced me to want to play those games when I got older. Subsequently, I did. I love those games now. Ask me anything about Resident Evil and I can answer it, I promise.
Actually, yeah, I do have a question about Resident Evil.
Oh, perfect.
Like, on a scale of 0 to 100%, how evil are these residents?
Austin, honestly, you don't want to be their neighbors. You do not want to be these neighbors. No, no.
To be fair, I don't want to be most people's neighbors.
That's true. Who needs them? Not I, said the farmer.
Okay. But, so we've talked about what it means for you to be Latino. What does it mean? And as well as what it means for you to be a gamer. Now, we combine the question. What does it mean to you to be both of those put together? What does it mean to you to be a gamer Latino or a Latino gamer? If it means anything at all, of course.
Again, a hard question. Especially because I've only recently found...
You say it's a hard question, but you're the one who wrote them.
That's why
you wrote these questions.
Yes, that's true. I asked them. I was not expecting to answer them. That's why. If I had to answer these, I would have made them like, what's the weather like today? I think when you combine the two, just like when you combine any of the identities, you're doing one of two things. You are, first of all, expressing that you are who you are and you love that about yourself, right? You are a Latinx gamer and you are proud to be that, with a big G or a little G, it's fine. It also means, though, that you are looking for others like you. I've only recently found, as we discussed on our episode, Latinx in Gaming, that group, the Black Card members who focus almost specifically on inviting people of color to celebrate their art and their game development and stuff like that. The voice actors of color group, who have a lot of Latin people in that group as well. Like, finding that these groups exist within the gaming circle is everything to me, really. So once again, it is so much about just kind of finding that pivotal piece of your identity that you want to resonate with other people, and then finding those people to resonate with. And I would hope that by combining my identities, folks find some solace in trusting me to help them find other communities, help them tell their stories, help them promote their games, all those things. So it's all about community and family tonight, baby.
What a wonderful message for the end of Latina Heritage Month. I love it.
Thank you.
Now, you started to skip ahead there, mister, because you know the very next question is, what are or who are some influential, friendly, or otherwise amazing figures in games that stick out in Latin American gaming circles?
Yeah, so I did drop Latinx in gaming just kind of off the dome there. But there are others. There are plenty of others if you go looking. But to give you a head start on that.
Yeah, name five Latinas.
Ooh, five?
If you like Latina American people so much, name five Latinas.
Name five. Name five more after that. I recently found actually the Latinx Visions podcast, which is a podcast by professors that deal with a lot of not just Latina issues, but also Black issues. Queer Latinidads was their first season of season three, and it was fantastic. Jeff Brutlag, I hope I'm saying that last name right. I always mess it up. A friend of the show, has been on before, is a great streamer and has been doing some really awesome things, both as a Latine gamer and also as a gay gamer. Just a really awesome person. George Diaz, who was on the last episode, he gave me such life in the last episode because he had this love of Sombra that made me really reconsider everything I've ever thought about Overwatch for a minute. It was just such a palate cleanser to know that someone loved just this one character so much. And it really made me happy. I really appreciate him, especially him coming on. Recently, I also followed at Lonzo Gonzo on Twitter. I'm still getting to know that.
Hey, I know that guy.
But they have been really, really awesome in the way that they kind of navigate Twitter, if that makes sense. A lot of what I'm finding from about Latina culture and Latina in gaming and even Black folks in gaming is now coming from him. So I really appreciate the constant sharing from him, and I'm hoping to get to know him some more, a little bit more. And yeah, there's plenty more, but I don't want to keep going down the list.
Well, that's pretty cool. Those are some good people to listen out to, or watch out for, rather. Mm-hmm. But next question. What are some moments in gaming that stick out in regards to your culture? Is there any game? Wait, this is a new question. I didn't get asked this question.
That's right.
Hold the phone.
I added a question for myself.
Wow. You've heard it probably fifth. Y'all here first, y'all. This is scripted. This entire interaction is scripted. But okay, what are some moments in gaming that stick out, I guess, with regards to your culture? Yeah. Is there any game where you can tell that they tried but absolutely could do better?
Yeah. So again, to kind of beat this to death, right? Or to kind of like bring it up once more. As I have over the past since it came out, the moment that speaks to me the loudest, that has spoken to me the loudest for many months now, is is Spider-Man. My friend Miles Morales. I will never get over it. I can't possibly get over it. It is the moment to me where I felt the closest to any character in any video game, specifically any Black character, specifically any Latino character, because going to his house and experiencing that like Christmas dinner with everyone that's like my life. The way the food presentation, having folks over, friends and family, it was just such a I literally almost cried. I was like, this, someone did some research, or like they really just have someone who is living my life in this, on this team. It was just amazing, beautiful, beautiful moment. And then to see him be a Spider-Man, right? Be kind of a hero for the people. I love that. It's just, it was a brilliant game all the way through, honestly.
Wonderful game.
I struggle to find fault with it. That being said, I have found a little fault with a recent leak from GTA 6. Oh. Specifically that, yes, we have a Latina character, first time ever in Grand Theft Auto. And for what it's worth, it is mostly not a stereotypical Latina character. I feel like they, I don't know what the character looks like in full, obviously, but I feel like they still kind of missed a mark, sort of. There seems to be this kind of idea with Grand Theft Auto specifically that women have only one way of walking. They only walk in one way, and it is this kind of swishy, right, big-hipped, side-to-side thing going on. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that they are, hinting or trying to give her the kind of, sassy stereotype, you know? The dialogue that we get from her, the her movements and everything like that seem kind of like they're really trying to make her the sexy, sassy character. And I want to say that while, again, I don't know the full story, I am cautiously hopeful that by this point in the development, that's an old model, right? I'm hopeful that they have said, okay, we tried that, but let's do something else, and that we come out on the other side with something a little bit more, I don't know, good, better. that doesn't feel like a complete stereotype of a certain kind of person.
Yeah, I don't look at leaks, so I don't know all that's involved with what's going on with GTA 6, but that is absolutely a big thing with the portrayal of Latinas specifically, mm-hmm. in media, and how they're always hypersexualized and or fiery, and it's a lot. It's a whole thing that stems way back to the days of old films where, mm-hmm. Latinas first started coming into focus and were sort of the exotic objects of affection for the white male, yes. leads. It's a whole thing.
And I get that GTA characters in some respects have to be kind of fiery and in your face and all that. I'm just hopeful that it is done so in a way where it doesn't feel like annoying. Catalina from GTA San Andreas. Not an awful character, but could have been way better. Also in GTA 3, I guess, but you know, most people know her, I think, from San Andreas, because I don't know how many people actually played 3. But anyway, this very fiery kind of manic person, right? Mm-hmm. But also has these feminine wiles about her, right? It's all of the things we don't really like to see in a stereotyped portrayal, just ham-fisted into one character. And it didn't feel right then, it doesn't feel right now, so I'm just hopeful that we're not seeing Catalina 2.0.
We'll see.
We shall see.
But what do we want the gaming community to know about Latina gamers? What do you think they can do better, or the community can do better, because we are a part of it, so what do you think we can do better?
I want to echo what you said on your episode, which is, please don't forget about us Afro-Latinos. It is hard, again, like I said, to kind of put myself into those spaces when I feel like I'm not allowed, if that makes sense. And it's specifically usually that I don't see Afro-Latinos, or I don't feel like we're being represented or spoken for or anything like that. So just don't forget about us. We definitely exist. And some of us just want to have a seat at the table to hang out with you guys. And that's all it is. it really spoke to me when you said that, especially because it wasn't coming from an Afro-Latino, assumingly. But it just felt like, oh, I'm being recognized here. And I appreciate that a lot. So just remember that we're here. Shake our hands. Invite us to TTRPG nights. Those kind of things.
Yeah. Like, it's worth repeating over and over and over and over and over again until it becomes the norm.
Yes. Don't forget about us. We eat the food that you eat too. And we can then... I can do some mean bachata. Like, don't get me started.
Good. I want to see it.
No.
Wow. You can't just tell us you can do some mean bachata and then not show us. Like, where are the receipts?
Where are the receipts? You're right. I shouldn't make such claims without the receipts. You're right. Someday.
But in the inverse, what can the Latina community do better?
Yeah, that's a, again, I don't know why I write these hard questions for folks. I think one thing that we can do better is just in general, I guess, trying to find ways to promote ourselves to the community at large. And I guess what I mean by that is I see online a lot of people within mostly white circles who are giving kind of the social media advice, you know, how to promote this content, how to promote that content. But it is geared toward a rather general audience that may not always work for if you're Afro-Latino or just Latine, you know, from a different culture or anything like that. It may not focus in on Black and brown people. So I would like to see more Latina people kind of step up who really know the craft and the trade to kind of help the rest of us out, you know, give us a little bit extra help on how to relate our content back to our culture and our community.
Yeah, there needs to be a lot more listening and promoting of the the BIPOC streamers, the streamers of color out there who are doing this sort of thing, but like they're not, of course, they're not tailoring their advice to general audiences, but they are specifying their advice to the people whom it would most affect, because we have very specific problems in the industries we are a part of. So we can't just go off of general advice given out that would work for the average white person failing upwards.
Right.
So, yeah, I fully agree with that.
Just a little extra boost. A spotter, as they say in the gym where I go sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Where are those receipts? But, yeah, I think that was the last question.
Yeah. Quick and easy.
Yeah, do we have any new stories for this week?
You know what? Let's do a quick check. What is going on in the gaming news this week? Anything exciting?
I haven't noticed anything anything huge this week in terms of gaming.
Yeah.
It's been a quietish week in the gaming world.
It usually gets quiet around this time because we're getting into like release and Christmas time, right? So holiday season, we usually stop hearing about any real substantial gaming news, and we start just hearing about here's when this game is coming out and how to get into it. So let's see. Microsoft reportedly tried bring. Oh, okay. This is pretty interesting. Microsoft tried to bring Xbox Game Pass to PlayStation. Now, the interesting thing about that is that Microsoft and Sony have been having this extreme battle back and forth because Sony thinks that Xbox is going to try and usurp the throne that is the Call of Duty exclusive, the one thing that every gamer cares about, I guess.
Incorrect.
It's interesting because Microsoft has been saying, like, we want to make sure that you can get Xbox Game Pass on your fridge if you wanted to. And they want to expand it to, like, everything. But is that a proper thing to do, right? Like, that seems like it's encroaching on business. And not to be super capitalist about it, but, I mean, it doesn't promote the idea of, competition. It promotes a monopoly.
It's also weird because Sony already has their own gaming pass service. It's called PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, and I guess they don't see, like, Sony themselves don't see it that way. They see it more as like it's something that doesn't compete with Game Pass in the same way. Despite the fact that it kind of does.
It's the same kind of service, just on a different console.
Just playing Assassin's Creed through the streaming that they offer, so it's exactly the same.
Both are available on PC.
Yes, that, and I think that's where the key difference is that even though it's available on PC, it's not as widely playable as Game Pass is, and it's not as ambitious as at being as widely playable as Game Pass is either. Xbox and Microsoft want to get it all the way onto the Switch if they can, and I don't know that Nintendo's going to have any of that, but...
I think Nintendo needs to resolve their own issues with the internet first before they allow anything else on there.
Yeah, a little bit. Make your games playable on the internet, Nintendo.
Yeah.
The people want it. The people need it. Let's see, a new Need for Speed is coming out. There's very anime-like looks to the vehicles and
a Need for Speed.
A new Need for Speed. There's a lot of anime visuals in it. A lot of the characters look very anime. When you kind of drift, the smoke that comes out of your tires looks kind of cartoonish.
Has it always been that way?
No, this is something really new.
Maybe they're trying to differentiate themselves from things like Gran Turismo.
Yeah, and Need for Speed has always been kind of, I guess, more gritty, right, than things like Gran Turismo or Forza Motorsport. It's always more street, right? Whereas those games are more of a blanket way of doing racing games. But it seems like they're really trying to make it more glamorous, despite being a more street type style of racing game. But it also seems like they're making sure that they keep to their core base, because they said, yes, of course you can turn off the anime effects, guys. Yes, you can turn off the anime.
That kind of makes sense, because granted, I'm speaking about this with no knowledge of racing games, because it's just not my genre of games. But there is kind of, like, as far as I know, like, correct me if I'm wrong, offer up a game if I'm wrong, but to my understanding, from what I've seen of all the, like, at least big name racing games that are, like, churned out every couple years, there's a space for a racing game that has aesthetic, like an aesthetic, like an aesthetic that isn't just a photorealistic racing game. Yeah, there's Mario Kart, but that leans way too heavily into, like, the toon side, and of course Nintendo fans are here for it, and that's great. But there's no, like, middle ground per se, I feel, at least from what I've seen. So
it is a incredibly, I don't want to say smart, but it's definitely a very good move to try and tunify your like extremely realistic game, adding some fun elements to it so that folks can enjoy it or not, right? That they, like I said, they said you can turn it off if you're like a coward and don't want anime in your video game. So yeah,
there was a game a while back that I really really liked because it was like the PlayStation version of Mario Kart. It was, you know, it had the sort of Mario Kart system of like, oh, you get power-ups, you get like things you can toss at your opponent, and it's that kind of like power aesthetic racing game. It was called Blur.
Oh yes,
and that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that because like it wasn't like a bunch of Nintendo characters, but it was still like very fantasy-esque but also still a racing game. So that was I really liked that, and I kind of wish that stuck around longer.
One of the kind of fascinations of racing games is the idea of like having a car flip 20 times. Like, scary in real life, kind of interesting in a video game.
Exactly.
And it's really fun to do that in a controlled kind of fantasy environment. Blur was a great example of that because you had like, you know, rockets coming out of your car. Like, you're not James Bond, but you're pretty close at that point. Another good example is like Burnout Paradise specifically has a lot of trip jumps. I don't think so. What? No, clowns?
I know there's a clown racing game out there and it terrifies me.
Are you thinking of Twisted Metal?
I'm thinking of Twisted Metal. Yeah.
Twisted Metal is interesting. That's like a demolition derby, but you're right. I've never played that. But anyway, Burnout is very like, there's a lot of trick moves you can do, jumping over this, jumping over that. And you're encouraged to do those types of things. You're also encouraged to like crash into your friends at high speeds, right? Run them off the road and take first place by crashing into your friend. It's meant to be that way. It's meant to be incredibly over the top and a little morbid in a way. I think that's the same thing we're seeing here in Need for Speed, right? They are not only allowing you the freedom to kind of do this incredible crazy street racing, but they're also saying like, by the way, these cartoonish elements, remember, this isn't real. You know what I mean? Like, try to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Is there
anything else?
Really?
Just you watch tomorrow, like after this has been recorded, is when like gigantic gaming bomb is gonna drop.
That has happened to this show many times, and I've just been like, you know what?
Pain.
Whatever.
Tomorrow's when Nintendo announces we've been acquired by Microsoft.
Yeah. I once had a prediction about something that was happening and figured we wouldn't find out until next week, and then the morning that the episode dropped, we got the news that I was right, and I was like, great, cool. I love to be correct, but also like a day late still, so whatever, it's fine. I think we are really again at that kind of crossroads where we're waiting for all of the games to drop so that we can go back to talking about other things in gaming news. Award season is it definitely going to be coming up probably by December, January, maybe even sooner. So there's a lot to look forward to. Nothing happening right now.
Yeah, I guess now is when we start getting all these advertisements for games that are coming out for Christmas and
Pokemon
Black Friday weekend or month.
Violet.
Scarlet Prince. And Violet, yes.
I'm getting Violet.
I'm getting Scarlet. So.
Ooh. Yay, best friends, trade.
Woo. Exactly. Perfect. But okay, I think it's time for what, closing remarks? Is that the next part?
Yes. Yeah.
So, as we move along toward the end of the show, we ask that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should be playing and or be on the lookout for?
Yeah. So, I'm actually going to say, just because I want people to play with me, try a fighting game called Melty Blood. Melty Blood Type Lumina.
I've heard of Melty Blood.
It is cartoonish. It's super anime 2D fighter, extremely fast paced. It's just all the things you like about anime 2D fighters. It's a fun time. Melty Blood, Type Lumina. If you want to play Guilty Gear, I guess we can do that too. But I'm plugging Melty Blood, Type Lumina first.
Well, good. If you're out there and you want, and you're one of the people playing Melty Blood and need people to play with, look no further. Cammy Jace is here.
Here I am.
Now, it's time for my recommendation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I do in fact have one, and it's a game that just came out yesterday, a game I immediately fell in love with, and I expected to fall in love with. I've been really enjoying Coral Island. So, ooh. Picture this. Stardew Valley plus Animal Crossing minus chibi aesthetic plus attractive cast of romanceable people of color. That's Coral Island.
Oh.
Like, that is legitimately Coral Island. I'm not saying like abstractly. No, that is literally Coral Island. That is the parts that combine together to make Coral Island. And the developing team, Stairway Games, is an Indonesian developing team. So playing it is also supporting a cast of people of color, or developers of color. So that's an amazing reason to play it. But it is so much fun. It just entered early access yesterday. So mind you, it will be like super buggy. Not all the features are implemented yet. But it is still fun regardless. And if you're the kind of person who doesn't mind bugs and like an early access game because you're conscious of the fact that it's early access, absolutely play it. It is $24.99 on Steam. It is on the Xbox Game Pass as well.
Who are you romancing?
I cannot answer that question. I have like you seven people in the running right now. Because I'm interested in so many characters currently. I have never had this many romanceable options in a game. It is wild.
It is frankly very heartwarming to know that not only are there this many options, it's pretty split between black and brown people and white folks. Like, mm-hmm, it seems mm-hmm. like there's a healthy split here. So I'm looking at all these characters like, I could go through any of these. Like, I could go with anyone.
I forgot one very important thing. One very important part of the equation. So you have the, like, farming system of Stardew Valley plus the, like, catching, bug catching, fishing of Animal Crossing plus the aesthetic general romancing farm life of Harvest Moon.
Yes.
So like, if you like me were one of the people who have missed those dopey ass cows from like the old Harvest Moon games, you will get that. You will get the giant headed cows that are just too adorable to like not love. It's wonderful.
I'm so excited. All right. Yep, this is going on the list for when I need a nice soft game. Wonderful. You got one more piece.
Yes. So, to finish off this episode, let us know where we can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug.
Yeah. So, actually, I didn't read this properly. You do that part. You tell us where to find you, and then I'll do my part.
Okay, I tell. Okay, so me.
You.
Well, my name, as you all know, is Lo-Fi Knight. You can find me on twitch.tv/Lo-Fi Knight, as well as twitter.com/Lo-Fi Knight. I am a Twitch streamer. I play a lot of indie games. I play a lot of adventure games, a lot of sci-fi RPGs, all that fun stuff. So I guess you could say I'm a variety streamer. And that's kind of all I have to plug. I don't have anything else going on right now.
Why did you say, I guess I'm a variety streamer? Like, it's
because
thing?
I don't use that terminology for myself all too often. Like, that's fair. Like, it's that's the only fair. The other day that I realized, wait a second, I guess this makes me a variety streamer. And I should probably use that term more because, like, that's the quote unquote official term for somebody who plays a collection of games.
Variety streamer.
Yeah.
Like an assorted pack of chips. A variety pack.
Mm-hmm.
all right.
Except I will eat all the Cheetos first and then move on to the other chips.
Oh, no. You gotta have some pretzels. some pretzels, and what are those weird things called? Sourdough something?
Sourdough? Sour cream and onion?
No, there's Funyuns? Like these dark brown parts of the trail mix that's like sourdough something. I don't know.
Listen, Jace, if I'm getting a variety pack of chips, the trail mix is not the first thing I'm going for. In fact, it's probably the last thing I'm going for.
All right. As always, you can find me at Comedy Jace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WKCooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review or comment on Apple Podcasts. Yeah, do it for me. Or for Lo-Fi. Do it for Lo-Fi.
Do it for me to do it for Jace.
Yes. Because I know. I understand. Going on iTunes and Apple Music is terribly difficult. It really is. I'm not even being sarcastic. I hate going on there. But just click the 5 stars and then delete the damn app. It's fine. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And remember that you can support your favorite charities and support the show. Our logo and art is by Corgian. Follow Corgian on Twitter at Doghouse Corgian, DoghouseCorgian. And our intro music is done by Riki. Follow Riki on Twitter as well, Dog_Noise, DoG_NOISE. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
And I'm Lo-Fi Knight.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Oh, wait. Shut up. Before I go, next week is our fifth year anniversary show.
Oh my god. Congratulations. I almost forgot.
Next year's the fifth year anniversary show. We will be discussing some old news stories, going over the progress of this show, and hopefully a lot more. So drop on by next week.
That is a pretty big deal. Happy 5 years old.
5 year anniversary show. Yes, pretty big deal, as I almost forgot. It's just the whole thing. Anyways. Yes, 5 years of the Weekly Cooldown. October 2017 is when we started. And here we are 5 years later, October 2022. Woo! If I can do math, that definitely says that that was 5 years. And yes, this podcast can now go to kindergarten. So yeah, come by next week for the 5 year anniversary show. And now that's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace.
Bye.
Bye-bye.